One thing I actually got with the tongue is it's a narrow path. It's a narrow path. And so I'm putting all the words together as I listen to the different parts of the interpretation, or at least some of the different parts of the interpretation. And I really, I think the word that you had, Mel, there was like really kind of sums it up, where this powerful stream, but it's a narrow, I just got this picture of a narrow tube, if you will, but it bursts forward and it gushes. Aww. Kids are having a rough time today. That's all right. But it gushes forth. And this, you know, and even the words of God, like, weeps over Jerusalem, and the words of he has so much for us, but we don't know. And again, it's because it's on this narrow path, and it's full and complete, and holy love flow in me, you know, and this huge amount of presence and great waves, but it's a narrow path. It's a narrow path. And he wants us to walk that narrow path, and it'll lead us home. And not just home in the great by and by, but today. It'll lead us there today. Yeah. It's so much goes with some of the stuff I want to share this morning, and I hope that I can gather my thoughts, because these thoughts are over the last few weeks, and God has been ministering some stuff to me. And it has to do with, again, we've talked about it before, but the walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit as opposed to walking in the soul. And according to our own understanding. I had a really neat thing happen to me a few weeks ago. So needed to go purchase some tires, first tires and then rims, and we've made a few purchases there for the winter months. And at this time of year, as you can imagine, at any tire place, it's going to be a little bit crazy, and people are running all over the place and busy, and yeah, we'll try and get to you and all this, you know. And I'm talking with the person at the front desk, this young lady. And I all of a sudden am aware that the Spirit of God is on me. Like, just on me. And it's just his kindness is coming out of me. And not that I'm not a kind person. Like, I'm not normally, like, grumpy. I don't walk into places, serve me now. You know, I'm not like that. I'm a nice guy, somewhat, at least, or whatever. I don't, but, like, in normal circumstances. But this was supernatural. I could feel the Spirit of God on me. And kindness was pouring out of me, and compassion, and patience, and love, and wow, this is really weird. I'm not in a church service. I'm not leading a Bible study. I'm not leading worship. I'm not preaching. I'm not teaching. I'm not listening to a good sermon or whatever. I'm just here in the, you know, the service part of the store, and he's pouring out of me. And it's so, like, I just rode that wave, if you will. Like, yeah, Lord, you want to do something here. This is awesome. This is beautiful. And then I just meditated on it, like, later on, and was just, wow. Like, I want my whole life to be that. I want my whole life to be where you pour through me, and you live in me, and you just get to, you just have the freedom to do what you want to do in any moment, at any given time. And I didn't preach or teach or anything like this. I didn't feel led to, you know, have an altar call or anything like that. They just... And I've noticed that sometimes in the past. Now that I think about it, I noticed that sometimes in the past where, you know, you go to a store, or you go to a place, and maybe someone's having a hard time. And yes, in myself, I want to make them have a better day. You know, maybe you see someone who's been having a crummy day, and not that this person had it on them, actually. They seem very pleasant in that. But, like, sometimes you run into that, and, okay, I want to be a bright spot in your day and cheer you up a little bit. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But this was not that. This was the river of life that it talks about in John chapter 7, the spring of living water that wells up from our belly, that wells up from within us and starts pouring into our soul and our mind and our emotions, and then it comes out of us, out of our mouths, onto the people around us. And it's like, wow, God, I want that. I want that more and more, to be your vessel and to just walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. Yesterday was really neat. I want to be careful how I share. But yesterday was Niagara Now, from Friday to 6 to Saturday 6 o'clock. So I was giving some leadership from the 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock chunk. And what that means is, again, I sat in the front row and just, if I felt a word to share, I would share it. The team, there was this the team leading from, I forget the church's name. No? Okay. But their church in St. Catharines meet downtown on Church Street, funny enough. And they were amazing. And they would lead worship, but I would, you know, if the Lord gave a word or if someone else had a word, they would come and share with me first. That didn't happen on my watch, but they would come and share with me first, and then I would, okay, yeah, share that, or maybe you need to hold off on that, and just to give leadership to that part. But man, well, first of all, when we got there a little early, we got there at about 1:30, and there was a team just finishing up their last half hour of worship, and as soon as I walked through the door, I'm just met by the presence of God, and this, oh, this is so good, like, just atmosphere. You know, we sang the Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, flood this place, fill the atmosphere, and it's like, yeah, the atmosphere was just, oh, it was so good. The music was good too. Guy who was leading had a wonderful voice, and very musically, everything was being done well, but it was deeper than that. It was more than that, right? And so enjoyed that. And then at the 2 o'clock time, they start switching over, and I walk up to the front and just take my seat up there, and then this worship team from St. Catharines starts, and oh my goodness, I wish you could have all been there. It was so good. So, I mean, the music was good and different flavor too, because their pastor is Pastor Deo. I don't know if any of you know him. He lives on line 6 here, actually, I found out. I don't know where he's originally from, but anyways, black preacher. I don't want to stereotype, but the whole worship team, they had it. I mean, they have rhythm, they have this certain style, if you will, and it was gorgeous. Their voices were angelic, and well, actually, if the angels have soul, you know, kind of thing. And they would put different spins on some of the worship songs that we don't put on, you know, like they would have their, oh, you know, and all over the place. And just like, it was so good musically, but it was so much deeper than that. Like, so I could enjoy the music and the style of music, but it was so much deeper. And God just started just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And at this one point, I forget which song we were singing, it doesn't matter. But the Spirit of God was like, talk about a lot of water coming through and just like a fire hose, and people are shouting, and I start shouting, and woo, you know, kind of like top of my lungs, kind of. I was starting to lose my voice, but I had to give expression to what the Spirit of God was doing among us and in me, and it just, if you didn't, it's like trying to stop the fire hose, you know, like, I don't know what would have happened if you try and bottle that up. David talks about, like, I have to speak, you know, I try to keep silent, but I have to speak, or Jeremiah speaks about that as well, and you just got to give expression to it, because it's from the river of life, and it just poured, and oh my goodness. It wasn't from a place of the soul. Yes, the soul obviously was involved, but it doesn't originate in the soul. So it doesn't originate in the mind. It doesn't originate in the emotion. It doesn't even originate in the will. As in, we're going to do this now. We're going to shout to the Lord now. You know, I have decided that we're going to shout to the Lord. No, it started in the Holy of Holies, you know, from between the cherubim, and God just turned on the flood, if you will. And yes, it goes through our soul. So all of a sudden, although my mind doesn't necessarily get too much engaged at that point, but my emotions sure get engaged. And like just passion and joy and power and all of that gets, and then obviously out the mouth, so right, starting in the spirit, into the soul, out the mouth, and my vocal cords were feeling it, and it was just of God. And again, it was a reminder, I want to walk in the spirit. Oh God, what starts from you is amazing. See, the river of life, that fountain of life, does not originate in our soul. It originates in our spirit. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. See, our soul is not a place that we can fully trust yet, because it's still working itself out. It's still the place where we have strongholds, and we're fighting the good fight, and we want to tear those strongholds down. But that's not the place of life. The place of life is in the spirit. He is spirit, and he is truth. He is life. And so it needs to start there. And man, yesterday, again, I wish you could have all been there, because the Spirit of God just poured out. Now, I've been at other worship times, and we've all been at other worship times, I'm sure. And maybe we've participated in worship times where the music's good, but it's like something's off. Something's not right. Even this morning, I want to ask, and this is no, what were you discerning this morning during our worship time? Anyone want to? And this has to do with all of us. This isn't worship team, other, you know. What were you discerning? Craig, when you came in there, what were you feeling? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Like, after I was there.
Yeah.
Part of it was that song has been kind of on the list for 3 weeks. So when I heard it out there, I was like, oh, that's good. Let's do it. Like, it needed to happen at some point. Mm.
I guess that's maybe where I'm going too, because I know that, and this is where we can discern together, right? I hope this is a safe place, because like you all know, we love each other, right? Love each other. Like one of my prayers as then you took the guitar and you started leading is, oh God, I pray that you almost like settle, because I know that it's hard. Like any of us who have had little kids and then have to lead at the same time, like have to switch from, okay, talking to my kids, and maybe I imagine bringing some correction, because I saw that it wasn't like necessarily a yay, let's go outside together, you know, like there was no yeah, we're gonna have fun out here in the hallway. It was a struggle, and I've been there, so I know that coming from that, and then to leading to worship, to being able to, you know, like switch gears a little bit. Although even in that, even in our parenting, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit, because it's so easy. Like I walked in the soul so much in my parenting. And that, and it's like, oh God, if I knew then what I know now, and or if I not just knew, because it's not about knowledge, if I was then what I am now, that'd be much better for my kids, and they would have turned out much better than they are right now. Just kidding. Had to throw that in. That was purposeful. That wasn't a slip or anything. But one of my prayers for you then, as you were up there, it's like, oh Lord, I pray, just bring that settledness. Because I was discerning, but maybe it was just discerning in my mind. This is where I need to grow in my discernment. There was a little bit of struggle at the beginning of the like leaving that out there and then just entering in kind of thing. And totally understandable, right? But my prayer was, oh God, I pray just like settle his heart. May they just bring that peace on him. May your peace be on. And I was regretting that I didn't actually pray for you while I was still up here, because it's like, because I know how hard that kind of thing is. Is that a fair assessment, or am I off? And if I'm off, I'm off, and that's okay.
No, there was definitely some of it. Like, it didn't, after the first song,
okay.
Okay,
yeah.
But there's, yeah, there is always that transition time.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, because you're.
Yeah.
Right. But it's hard sometimes, right? Because, again, our soul, and our soul isn't a bad thing. I want to make that very clear. Our soul isn't a bad thing. Our soul is a gift from God. Like, and we actually are living souls. Like, that's what we are. Our soul is who we are. It talks about, you know, God formed the body out of the dust, breathed life into them with his Spirit, and we became living souls. So our soul is what we are, our mind, our will, our emotions, our personality. And all of us have a different mix and different, it's a beautiful thing, but it is that place that's still working out its salvation. Like we you know, I was thinking about Romans 12, for instance, and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Well, the fact that it says be transformed by the like and renew your mind means that we're not there yet in our minds. If we were there, we wouldn't need to be transformed. You don't transform something that's perfect. You don't touch something that's perfect. You leave it because it's perfect. But if it needs to be transformed, then it's still working it out. And I know how difficult that is. It's that place of the battle. It's the battleground of the mind, the battleground of the emotions and all that. And so it's this place of, yeah, Lord, okay, I was just out there. And right now, like I'll take, for instance, for myself, again, when I'm in a situation like that where when our kids were smaller and you'd have to bring correction and maybe it was a little bit volatile or whatever, and I wouldn't help because you don't have this problem, Craig, or at least I don't think you do, but like I would always add a little bit of gas to the fire, which, you know, didn't help anything out whatsoever. Still do sometimes, but thankfully my guys are okay and equipped to deal with that somewhat now. But it's this place of, oh God, like I'm so stirred up in my soul right now. My emotions are all over the place. My mind is all over the place. Oh God, bring a settledness, because I need to hear your Spirit, and I want to walk by your Spirit. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to receive what you have to minister, because again, it's such a narrow road. It's not a tight rope where we oh, I'm in danger of falling off because I'm losing my balance. No, it's a sidewalk. You know, I've mentioned that before. It's a 6 foot wide sidewalk. You can walk it well, but it is narrow. And oh God, I pray that I would stay on that narrow path of walking in your Spirit. Wherever I am. Disciplining my kids, you know, not getting up stirred in my emotions, you know, because like all of us, again, I want this to be a really safe place, because any of us who have had kids have had stuff like that, you know, and any of you who will have kids and you're thinking, like, no, I wouldn't say you're thinking, but it's funny how some people have the best parenting advice when they haven't been parents, you know, and it's like, well, my kids would never do that. When I have kids, oh, no, trust me, you know. Trust me. And it we understand, but I also understand then the emotion and the mind. And it's like, Lord, help me walk in the Spirit. Help me walk in the Spirit as I lead. Help me walk in the Spirit as I worship. Help me walk in the Spirit as I go and purchase tires. Help me walk in the Spirit as I walk by a homeless guy and he asks for coffee. Help me walk. Help me listen. And I love that. I love that, Darlene, because it's this place of, nope, you know, because that's kind of, again, like I said, sometimes our own thoughts, our own previous experiences, our own cynicism, our own whatever it is. Nope. And that's, but it's totally, as we're walking and as we're listening to the Spirit, Spirit of God says that wasn't ordained in the Holy of Holies, that no. Because sometimes it is a no. Sometimes the no is ordained in the Holy of Holies, but it will be with peace. It will be with blessing, actually. It will be with understanding. It will be with wisdom, all of that. But I love that you recognize, that didn't originate with God. That wasn't the Lord saying no. And I don't know if you thought about it that way, but then, you know, turn on the car, turn off the car, go back. Okay, I'm going to walk in the Spirit and I'm going to give. I'm going to give. I love that.
It was more that I wasn't thinking in his heart.
Yeah.
And that's not thinking in my heart. Get out of your car and go give.
Yes. I love that. Because it's about expressing then what the Lord's heart is. It's about him pouring through us onto a world in need, onto each other.
So when we brought the kids out there, I was kind of like ruffled by their silliness and like seriously, come on guys. But
they just fed them sugar and candy the whole week.
So they're in remission, I guess, or whatever. So we were walking there and like I could, we went to that little boardroom or whatever, but I, at first when I was talking to them, it was more of a like accusing them, like, you guys need to do, like, da-da-da-da-da, like,
yep.
Get your acts together, that sort of mindset. But then as I was saying it, I could just sense, like, God being, like, in light of worship, being like, hold on, like, if you go that route, you're going to ruin something or like,
yeah,
you know, like
no,
it'll just
sure.
kind of cut something off. And so I don't know if you noticed the turnaround in the conversation, but then I was like, oh, okay. So hearing that, I was like, oh, then my conversation to them started to change and was instead like trying to help them with their hearts. Right.
Yeah.
And I could just sense, I mean, they still didn't listen, but like, but I could feel in myself like God's presence, his Spirit was there with me instead of where before I was kind of like, he wasn't there at all really in my words. But yeah, it was that sense of if you keep talking like that, you're gonna, when you come back to worship, it won't be the same. And so when I did come back, I was actually surprised. I was like, oh, like, because normally when that's happened before, it takes me a good song or two to like, get back in the groove or whatever. But then this time it didn't take me long at all. So I was just like,
so
oh, isn't
good.
So yeah, it totally speaks to exactly what you're saying right now.
That is so awesome. And if we can recognize that in ourselves, like if we can, and if we can recognize that in each other too, and if we have that freedom to speak into each other's lives and all that, but if we can recognize, okay, right now, I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not getting an amen in my spirit from the Lord right now. The way I'm talking to my kids, or the way I'm talking to the clerk at the grocery store, or the way I'm thinking about this, or the movie that I'm watching, or this or that, or whatever. And the more we can recognize that and separate and be able to understand the difference between soul and spirit, the more we will stay on that narrow road where there is a flood. There is a flood of God's presence. There is the movement of God, and where we won't miss out, where we won't miss out on the blessing that he wants to pour out, where we won't miss out on the ministry that he wants to pour out through us and on us through others. You know? May we be able to separate, am I walking in the soul and the spirit right now? But again, I want to emphasize again, I know I've said this many times, not that we navel gaze, not that we are so introspective, because that's one way to get off the narrow path as well. We're like, oh, you know, we're just looking down at our shoes and everything and trying to, you know, no, that's not helpful either. But just, Lord, give me that freedom to be aware. Give me that awareness of whether I'm walking in the soul or in the spirit right now. So Carlene and I were talking about a recent experience about someone giving leadership. And what I've recognized, like, there are times where some people, when they give the leadership in different areas of the church or different like ministries out there in the world, man, the Spirit of God is on them right now. This is amazing. And then all of a sudden, oh, it's now the Spirit of God isn't like originate, like this isn't originating with the Spirit. It's forced and it's soulish. It's almost like if, like, you know, during the worship, like I said yesterday, where it's the difference between say, for instance, when they were leading, people just began to get loud, but there was no, okay, everyone, get loud now, you know? That's not what they did. They were just worshiping, and the Spirit of God in all of us in that room got really loud. Like, it originated with him. And so everyone had to get really loud, or, you know, had to, I don't know. Maybe some people weren't walking on that narrow path of the Spirit of God. Maybe they were wondering, what's going on right now? I don't know. I don't know where other people are coming from. But a lot of people heard the same thing at the same time. And being that many people who were in the room at that time were Pentecostals, it's not hard for Pentecostal, our brothers and sisters in the Pentecostal church, it's not hard for them to get loud. So, you know, woo, you know, all of a sudden. But it was led by the Spirit of God. But we've also been in services, right, at times, at different times in our lives. And I'm sure you've all been there where it's like, okay, everyone get loud now. And it's almost like going to a rally where trying to drum it up. And there's a world of difference between the two. World of difference between the two. What is born in the spirit and what is born in the soul. May we recognize the difference. As I was meditating on this, I was reminded again of that one time, I think it was at Pentecost, and I was teaching, right? And after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I don't know how long I went. I don't know how long I made you suffer through it. But like after 5 or 10 minutes, it's like, okay, just hold the phone here. Something's missing. This is not of God. This is, like, everything I was saying was true and biblical and right, and I'd studied and I had my notes and da-da-da, but it wasn't having its origin in the Spirit of God. It wasn't the fountain of life flowing out of me. It wasn't that the spring of living water beginning in my womb, in my belly, and pouring into my soul and then out my mouth. It was very much just in my own intellect, in my own study, I'm giving this to you. And it was as dry as crusty bread that's been left out and then toasted, you know. Blah. And so remember, if you remember, then we stopped and we, okay, Lord, can we pray together? Let's pray to God together. Lord, what do you want? And we spent a little bit of time in prayer. During that time of prayer, the Lord said, I want you to focus on this one thing. And so I skipped a bunch of my notes, went down to that one thing, and there it was. And then the Spirit of God started pouring out. May we recognize. May we become people who recognize the Spirit of God. And may we become dissatisfied with everything else. Aren't.
Is there then a place to encourage that? So it's not really, thank you. It's not drumming it up from the soul. You're feeling it in your spirit.
Right.
And you're seeing that other people maybe aren't walking it out.
Right.
Because I think we come from a place that's not Pentecostal, so it's a little bit harder for us.
Right.
To get to that place sometimes.
Right. And I, so in answer to the question, yes, I think there is a place for that. I think there is a place for for others to step in, and especially leadership. But I think of the worship team, and so yes, I would look to Craig first for like leadership in that. But I also know at other times different people in the worship team, I've seen you communicating up there. You know, I've seen you and Craig communicating together, and I think like you're co-leaders kind of thing. You know, but I've seen Lily speak up, and I'm waiting for Emily to speak up a little more, and you know, get on that ukulele. But it is that freedom to. Again, offer, like when we're not in the place of leadership, to offer it humbly, and you know, but to say, I see the Spirit of God moving in that direction. Now, for me personally, I also think there's a place for wisdom. Just like with our kids, you don't want to come and correct every single thing. You want them to be able to figure it out. So when you see your kids bickering, you know, okay, well, I'm going to let this go for a little bit because I want to see if they can build the skills to figure that out, you know? I want to see if they'll get to where they need to go, right? But at other times, there is a place to step in. And I know for me, like with regards to worship, say, for instance, I know with me, I basically, there's only been a few times, I think, over the last, you know, 3.5 years that you've been leading, Craig, where I've spoken, like, can we do this song, or can we go in this direction, or whatever, because it's like, no, I think we're heading there anyways, and I'm just gonna, you know, let it go, and because I want that to be developed in all of us. Does that make sense? And so just the wisdom and again, this isn't. Like with a sermon like this, even it's not this place of, come on people, let's go. It's more let's keep going. We are seeing the Spirit move more, or at least I'm seeing the Spirit move in my life and in us, from my perspective, more than I've ever seen Him before. And I want that to continue, and I want not just to continue, not like this, but to continue growing. I want us to become where man, when people walk through the door, they know something's different. Where there is an atmosphere of Spirit-led worship, Spirit-led sharing, Spirit-led preaching and teaching, Spirit-led ministering to each other, where people, when we walk through the door, when others walk through the door, there is a radical difference. Just like I pray that as we go our separate ways during the week and you know, go to places to purchase tires or go to work or, you know, surrounded with neighbors and kids and family and whatever, that the Spirit of God pours out. I wonder, you know, when I went to buy the tires, I wonder if she actually felt anything, who the person at the desk. I wonder if she felt anything different. Yeah, I don't know if she's a believer. I don't know if she's not a believer. I don't know. But I wonder. Because I sure felt it. I sure could tell the difference between this is just Kevin being nice. Because I want to be nice. Being nice is good. But this isn't just Kevin being nice. This is something different. This is God actually ministering. And I hope she felt something different. I hope she received whatever the Lord was ministering to her. And so, but it's this place of, for us as believers, where I am committed to finding that narrow path and walking it out, living it out every day as much as I can. I long for that. And I think that means that, yeah, we become more aware of our daily choices, even more aware of hearing Him call, more aware of just like you were saying there, Morgan, more aware of when God says, excuse me, this isn't going to end well if you keep going this way. I want you to shift gears here. I want you to just shift lanes. Come over here. Go this way. Oh, okay. I want us to hear. That excites me so much. That excites me so much. There have been times, many times in Carlene and my life where we're giving counsel, and some of you maybe have even heard this, where where someone shares something, a thought, a way of doing something, and it seems reasonable and it even makes sense, like in our worldview and the way things are done. And I'll say to the person, okay, I can understand how you got to that place and why you're thinking that, but it only leads to death, just so you know. It only leads to death. It doesn't lead anywhere good. Yeah, but I have a right. Yes, you do, actually. You're right. In the world's view or whatever. Yep. Like, there have been many people who have been wronged in this world, just utterly wronged. And the person who wronged them has not asked for forgiveness. The person has not sought reconciliation or anything like this. And the person who has been wronged is wounded and hurt. And sometimes they want to hold on to this, but I was wronged. It's like, yes, you were. But you need to forgive. You need to forgive. You need to release. Why? Not because if you don't forgive her, you know, God's going to get angry with you and that. But the bitterness in that's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. It's not the way of God. The way of God is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they did. They have no clue. They're blind to it. Forgive them. And I'll have forgiveness waiting here at the door. I've shared before, there are people in my life who have wronged me, who have not yet come to ask for forgiveness. But forgiveness is waiting for them at the door. Like, it's like this, it's like a present for them, just waiting. And I hope they come to the door, not to set me free. I'm free already because I've wrapped it all up in that box, and I've you know, it's ready there. I'm set free, but for their sake. But if I hold on to this idea of no, I'm not going to wrap that up until they come and ask. I'm not gonna let this go until they come and ask. I'm not gonna, when you come and ask for forgiveness, then I'll start thinking about it and dealing with it. No, I've dealt with it already, and it's there. Because that's the path to life. The way of the Spirit is the path to life. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I have forgiven somebody for something.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't told them, but they haven't come to me to...
Right.
Even ask that I forgive them for what they did.
Right.
Should I just go to them and say, like,
I forgive you? Yeah. I have found that doesn't work very well.
Okay.
Yeah. I see the pattern in Scripture. Like Jesus himself says, when someone asks for forgiveness, then forgive him. And there is this very much, like, so when I say forgive them, I mean, like, the transaction isn't done at that point, but, like, we forgive someone before they come, meaning it's ready, it's right there, but it isn't a full transaction until they come and ask. So, but what is biblical is, so it's not biblical to go to someone and say, I've forgiven you, or at least it's not principle. I wouldn't say it's anti-biblical, but it's not principle, and so we don't need to do that. What is good, though, especially in the body of believers, if someone has wronged you, to go to that person and point out where they wronged you. And that's not selfish, that's not mean, that's actually very helpful. And again, hopefully we can do it from that place of freedom, almost that place of, I've already dealt with this, but I need to point it out to you for your sake, you know. And so to say, this is how you wronged me. And that's from like Matthew 11 or Matthew somewhere in there.
So if you have a feeling that that person isn't ever going to approach you
mm-hmm.
to say, you know, forgive me for what I did,
mm-hmm.
but I'm okay with it. I'm mm-hmm. okay with them not coming to me.
Right.
So should I just leave it at that? That's my question. Like, I mean, I heard... Like, I know that you said that I could go to them and say, this is where you wronged me, but I don't want to be mean.
Well, and that's not mean either.
Okay, and point it out to them that this is how they wronged me. Yeah.
I understand. Like, again, if they're in the body of Christ, I believe the principle is that you go to them. If they're not in the body of Christ, there's really no principle for it, and that's where I would have it waiting for them, because, man, God has to do a work. What I would do is intercede for them, but I'm going to let Carlene has something to share, maybe.
Yeah, I want to address that. I agree with what Kevin said. However, I think there are opportunities with unbelievers to go to them. Like, for example, this is more extreme, but I just heard a testimony on Focus on the Family where a guy killed the father of someone, and that woman whose father died started writing letters to the prisoner right. in jail, and she said, "I forgive you for doing this," even though he didn't ask her. And he actually became a Christian after that, and it was an amazing story. So, but not everyone is so, I mean, that was a real, everybody understood that was a wrong thing, and yeah. But I think where God is speaking to us, like, it's all about relationship with him. And if he yes. is prompting us to speak with a person who has wronged us, then we follow his prompting. And, yeah, it won't necessarily happen every time, but I think it can happen. And then there can be very good blessing. But there can also be a choice on that person's part to not receive it, too.
Totally.
So then that's the answer I was looking for, because I just wasn't sure how to get to it. And I was hearing that I need to go to that person and tell them that I love them and that I forgive them. And that, you know, I just want to go forward and not dwell on what had happened.
Right. And if that's what you feel led to do, then yeah, you follow through with that. I think one of the things about, like, say, for instance, the example that Carlene gives about the person, like, forgiving the person who murdered whoever. It is this place of, I think the person in jail would realize that they wronged someone, but they just didn't necessarily have a worldview for asking for forgiveness, or maybe believing the lie of, I can't, how can I ever ask for forgiveness for this? So the offering of forgiveness actually ministered to a place of unspoken repentance, if you will. And obviously God used that. When I say there's not principle, whenever I say that, what I mean by that is when there is a principle, it means you just always walk it out this way, no matter what we feel or what you think. Because some people, like, for instance, forgiveness. You always forgive. Oh, but I don't feel like forgiving. Don't care. Like, yeah, I can help you with that, and we can talk through that and minister through that, but forgiveness is non-option. Like, that's not optional. That's a principle. Jesus makes it very clear, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. And it's just right there. And man, that has serious implications if you follow that out. And so we are to live lives of forgiveness. That's principle. But then when I say it's not principle, it's not just this always, this is how you walk it out. It's very much, yeah, follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you. Intercede. Ask him, what do you want to do in this situation, Lord? I don't see clear direction in Scripture what to say. And then if you hear him saying, I want you to go to them and just say, I forgive you and I love you, and I want to move on in our relationship, then you follow that out and you go for it. Yeah. And again, we don't walk these things out in our soul, because sometimes in situations like that, it's so easy to try and figure it out, right? And we sometimes do it sincerely, but we can be sincerely wrong. It's this place of, Lord, what is birthed in my spirit? Like, where you are the giver of life, you actually are life. Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Not just that he gives life, but he is life. So you have a plan in this. What do you want to do? How do you want to walk? How do you want to live through me? How do you want to manifest through me? Does that make sense? So in all things, as we gather together, as we go to our homes, as we raise our children, as we work in our workplace, as we go to school, as we walk in our neighborhood, as we interact with family, is it the Spirit of God pouring out of us? Is it him? Are we walking in fellowship with him? I just mentioned one last thing. I see the time going, but I might speak on this again next week because there's a lot more to unpack. But when I say walking in the Spirit at all times, too, reminds me of my response to your question there. It doesn't mean that, like, 24/7, like, Spirit of God, what do you want to do? Like, I said to Josh in the email, I ate cornflakes this morning. I didn't sense the Spirit of God, like, really, like, was inspiring me to eat cornflakes, you know? It's not about that. Like, again, we don't want to become like that, because that doesn't lead to a good place. That really actually leads to a very dangerous place. But just in our communion and in our walk, may I notice his gentle nudges. May I notice his leanings. May I notice him tapping on my shoulder and saying, you might want to just hold off on that. May I notice him saying, you might want to go back there. I want to go back there. Would you be my vehicle for going back there and giving him a coffee? Because I want to go back there. I had something to do back there, and we just whipped by. But I really want to minister to him through you. I want to sing this song now. I want you to sing this song. I want to minister to you through this worship, or I want you to minister to me, because we minister to God, not in the same way, because obviously he needs nothing, but I want to create this atmosphere. I want you to shout now. Okay, I'm going to shout. I'm going to give you voice, Lord. I'm going to be your voice. I'm going to respond to you. And we just notice. And I praise God, for instance, with the shouting, I praise God because, you know, even 2 years ago, no, actually, he started this even when we first, actually, that's interesting. I just got a memory of when we first asked to come under Freedom Ministries covering, and they were praying over Carlene and I. We were there in the midst, like, and they were praying and commissioning us. This is like 7 years ago or 8 years ago. I don't know how long ago. Doesn't matter. And I remember, I had to explain. At that point in my life, I had to explain everything. Okay, this is the Spirit of God. This is what I hear him saying. Just don't get freaked out. And they're like, we're not going to get freaked out, you know, kind of thing. But I just had to shout. And the amount that I shouted, I remember explaining it to them. Man, this is weird. Good memory. I said to them, and I explained, I feel like I have to shout as loud as I can, and the amount that I shout of effort will be the amount that he pours out on us as Emmanuel Grace. So it's almost this place of, it reminds me of Elisha with the king, I forget which king, but do the arrows, and he only did three. Ah, if you would have done five or six, you would have totally wiped out your enemy, but now you did three, you're just going to have three victories. It's almost like God says, if you just shout half, you're only going to get half. And my thing is, I have a loud voice, right? I don't have one of these wimpy voices. I have a loud voice with a healthy set of lungs that I can hold the note. And I held it, and I just, as loud as I could, I gave it my all. But praise God that actually that doesn't throw me off nearly as much anymore, where it's just, yeah, I hear you saying this. I want to give that expression. I want to walk in your Spirit. I want that river of life to pour in me, whether it's in volume or in gentleness, compassion or sternness, strength, leadership, gifting, whatever. I want you to pour into me, and I want to walk in your Spirit.
To me, that's the tie-in that Mel was talking about earlier about being a light.
Yeah.
Because whether it's buying tires or giving somebody a coffee or money for a coffee or whatever, there's lots of people who do nice things and are nice people.
Yep.
At the cashier or whatever. But it's, and I always go back to, just because of a personal experience I had with God, to be the fragrance of God.
Yeah.
Right? So whether that cashier noticed something consciously or unconsciously.
Right.
Right? Like, what the atmosphere changed. There was something different about that person that's even different about many people who are nice and, yeah, who tip well and who say nice things. But it's, Lord, help me to be that that supernatural spiritual presence and fragrance in wherever I walk.
Amen.
You know, that it just sort of, it's like that, I was thinking of Linus with the cloud of dust that's always around him, right? And just that Holy Spirit's presence is wherever I go, and it's beyond what a nice person, because we're all created in the image of God. So there's nice characters in all of us,
right.
but that spiritual presence that gives life and light, like what Mel was saying, that is true light,
right.
Which is life.
Amen. And I think the key, I'm actually going to use this for the first time in a long time. The key is not that we are the light of the world, okay? We are the salt of the earth, but there is also this reality when we understand that doctrine that he is the light of the world in us. He is the salt of the world in us. And so we need to abide in him and remain in him, and then we will be the light, okay? So I've got this picture just as Larry was sharing. I'll move it aside so that you can all see that after. But this picture of, okay, so God, I wish I had two different colored markers. Okay, God has a certain idea, right, of how to walk, like his plan, how he's going to walk his life out in us, and it's here, like, you wander this way, and you go this way, and I've got a plan, but sometimes we start with him, right, and then we have our little own plan, and then we walk with him a little bit, and then we go off, and then right here, and then so forth, right? Wherever we walk the same path that he has decided he wants to walk, the Spirit of God pours out on us and through us and around us. And just, wow, that's amazing, Lord. But then we get off on our own little thing and we start walking. Oh, where'd the Lord go? And it's not that he's left us. Like, understand, I'm not talking about eternal salvation, or I'm not talking about I'm not talking about his presence, but I mean his flooding our soul and pouring out of us onto a hurting world, onto people in need, onto our families, and that's what I'm talking. And it's because we meander off onto our own. The power is still there, the presence is still there, but we're just not there. It reminds me of the story, right, that I've told about Randy, where he has shared where he was praying for someone in a sanctuary, a place where he preached, but then and his spiritual eyes were open, and he saw fire over there. He just saw the fire, like a pillar of fire, and he just stopped the prayer for the person. He says, can we actually just move over there? And he didn't know why, but I think it has to do with this. And as soon as he moved the person over to where the pillar of fire was, man, the Spirit of God just started pouring down on him. And the Spirit pouring down or pouring through or whatever metaphor you want to use. And I just want to walk with you. I want to walk your path, not my own path. And I don't want to just intersect your path every once in a while. I want to walk your narrow path. And I want to notice when I'm stepping off of that. Because I want to pour out your Spirit. I want your Spirit to pour out through me. Does that make sense? I'm reminded of the words in John where Jesus says, I only say what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see my Father doing. And again, I don't think that had to do with his breakfast choices. But as far as ministry, and as far as in the middle of the day, when maybe Jesus wanted to take a nap, and we know that this happened. Jesus wanted to get rest. All of a sudden, there's 5,000 people there, and he's like, and he hears the Father saying, I want you to minister to them. Okay. I wanted to take a nap. I'm tired, but okay. Because that's where the Father was leading. That's the path that the Father had planned out. And I don't think Jesus knew that beforehand. Jesus limited himself. When he took on flesh, he took on limitations. May we become people who walk in the Spirit more and more and more. Okay. Any final questions? Yep. Or a comment? Yeah.
Shaken. that James Bond quote, you know, shaken, not stirred, came to mind. But I thought, we will not be shaken, but we will be stirred by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I think, you know, abide in the Spirit first, and then God can move the waters and move us.
Amen. That's good. Yeah, so Lord, have your way in us. We want to be ready and available vessels where walking with you becomes supernaturally natural, where it just becomes a way of life, where you pour through us. And we want to be a place here, Lord, when we gather together, that it's just so natural for you to just pour out. And where anyone who would come through these doors or even in the vicinity, Lord, would just be changed. People who walk by in the hallway would notice something different and would be curious and would seek you and find you. May we be a people who spread your fragrance everywhere we go, where you can just pour through us your fragrance, your fragrance, your fragrance. We want to walk with you at all times. We never want to let go of your hand. We never want to walk out on our own. All for your glory. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen.